Imagine it's August 2026, and you're just staring at your TV stand.
We've all been there.
Right. And if you are anything like the rest of us, it is basically a graveyard of plastic down there.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got, a box for your Xbox games, a box for your Nintendo games, and then this massive router-looking tower just for your PlayStation exclusive.
The giant white monolith.
Exactly. And for decades, being a gamer meant just accepting this fundamental truth. If you want a company's specific software, you have to buy their specific hardware.
You're just perpetually buying, charging, and dusting a different walled garden.
Dusting is the worst part. But you've probably been feeling the strain of this hardware fatigue lately. And according to a brand new forensic teardown from Tech and Analysis, a massive disruption just occurred that effectively, well, it just vaporizes those walls.
It really does. I mean, it's the kind of disruption that completely upends the traditional economic model of interactive entertainment.
Yeah.
We aren't looking at some clever little party trick or a niche hack here.
Right. This is big.
The Tekken Report details how this community-driven open-source software update, called Asobi, Remote Play just turned Valve's Steam Deck into a full-blown PlayStation Portal killer.
Which is wild.
It is. It's basically the triumph of versatile, open Linux software over rigid, single-use hardware.
Okay, let's unpack this because the sheer mechanics of how this works are honestly mind-bending. It's like, I don't know, it's like discovering your everyday Swiss Army knife can suddenly function as a lightsaber.
That is a brilliant way to put it, honestly, because the old reality of playing a high-end PlayStation 5 game on a portable PC, like the Steam Deck, was just a logistical nightmare.
A total headache. You essentially had two highly compromised paths, right?
Yeah. The first was waiting for Sony to release a native PC port.
Which takes forever.
Right. You're waiting 2 to 3 years after the initial release, and then you're paying full retail price all over again.
Or you take the second path, which was utilizing that community client called Chiaki.
Exactly. But Chiaki had this massive physical anchor tied to it.
A $500 anchor, to be exact.
Yeah, because Chiaki was a local streaming client, which meant you had to actually physically own a PlayStation 5.
Right, it had to be sitting in your living room.
Plugged into the wall, drawing power,
Whoa.
tethered to your local network. You were basically just mirroring the console from your living room to your bedroom.
But Asobi fundamentally changes the math for you. Because, as the Tekken Teardown explains, this Asobi public Steam playtest utilizes these open source frameworks called Moonlight and Sunshine.
Which are incredible pieces of software.
They really are. And instead of talking to a plastic box in your house, Asobi talks directly to Sony's cloud servers.
It just bypasses the middleman.
Completely. It pulls PlayStation Plus premium titles straight to your Steam Deck. You don't need a PS5 console. You don't need Sony's official $200 PlayStation Portal handheld. You just bypass the hardware entirely.
And to really grasp the magnitude of this, you have to look at the origins of those Moonlight and Sunshine frameworks.
Right, because they weren't just built overnight.
No, not at all. They were born years ago when the open source community basically reverse engineered NVIDIA's proprietary game stream technology.
Which was already great tech.
Exactly. The community figured out how to package and transmit high fidelity video and control inputs with, like, almost zero overhead.
And now developers have taken that ultra-efficient backbone, integrated it directly into SteamOS, and just pointed it at Sony servers.
It's genius. And what's fascinating here is when you look at the competitor matrix in the Tekken report, the performance numbers are just staggering.
They really are. Because usually when we think of cloud gaming, we immediately think of Xbox xCloud.
Right?
But xCloud is capped at a 1080p resolution, and it's kind of notorious for buckling under Azure server congestion, depending on what region you live in.
Yeah, xCloud can be a really mixed bag. But then Asobi enters the arena pulling this pristine 4K 60 frames per second high dynamic range stream directly from Sony's high-speed cloud infrastructure.
It's pulling 4K over the cloud.
Yeah, 4K at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
And it completely sidesteps the background latency bottlenecks you normally get with a bloated Windows operating system.
Because it's running on Linux.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lean, hyper-focused client talking directly to a supercomputer in the cloud.
Okay, wait. I have to push back here for a second because we really need to look at the actual cost to you, the listener.
Okay, fair enough.
Because yes, Asobi eliminates the need to buy a $500 console and a $200 PlayStation Portal. That sounds great.
Right.
But to use this software, you have to subscribe to the top tier of PlayStation Plus Premium, which is 180 bucks a year.
It's not cheap.
It's really not. If I own a Steam Deck for 4 years, I've just paid Sony over $700, and I don't actually own a single game. So have we really eliminated the toll booth, or did I just rent a virtual console for the price of a real one?
No, I mean, it's a completely valid skepticism.
Yeah.
You are absolutely still paying a premium toll, but the difference lies in the flexibility and the physical footprint. With the traditional hardware model, you're paying that $500 upfront just for the privilege of accessing the storefront.
Oh, true. You buy the box just to be allowed to buy the games.
Exactly. And then you still had to buy the games at $70 a pop.
Ugh, yeah.
But with the subscription model channeled through Asobi, that $180 gives you immediate access to a rotating library of over 800 PS4 and PS5 titles.
Which is a massive catalog.
Right. And they're powered by incredibly expensive server blades that you personally never have to maintain, you never have to upgrade them, and you never have to dust them.
Okay, you got me on the dusting. You're basically trading physical ownership for infinite maintenance-free access.
Exactly.
That makes sense when you put it in the context of maintenance and upgrades, which actually brings us to the hardware in your hands. Because if Asobi is rendering Sony's official hardware obsolete, we have to look at how a multi-purpose machine like the Steam Deck manages to outperform a device that Sony built specifically for this one job.
It's a great question. And it really boils down to a massive disparity in display technology and a revolution in the video encoding pipeline.
Let's start with the display, because the visual difference is immediately apparent.
Oh, night and day. Sony equipped the PlayStation Portal with an 8-inch, 60Hz LCD screen, and it has zero high dynamic range support.
Not at all. Which means the colors are relatively flat, and the blacks look like that glowing, milky gray.
Yeah, we all know how standard LCDs perform. They just can't get true black.
But then you look at the Steam Deck OLED, and it offers a 7.4-inch 90Hz panel with pure pixel-off blacks and native HDR.
And that display hardware allows the Asobi software to actually flex. It can show you those incredible highlights and deep shadows that the cloud is sending.
But having a beautiful screen means absolutely nothing if your button presses are lagging.
Exactly. And this is the core of the Tekken tear down the latency war. The reason Asobi feels native, like the game is actually running locally on the device, comes down to video compression protocols.
Let's get into the weeds on this because it's honestly fascinating. The report compares H.264 to HEVC.
Right. So the official PlayStation Portal relies on an older video compression standard called H.264.
Okay.
To understand why this is a bottleneck, you have to visualize how video streaming actually works. The cloud server is basically taking 60 photographs of the game every single second.
Just snapping pictures.
Yes, and mailing them to your device over the internet. H.264 is a fairly heavy, rigid way to package those photographs.
Okay, so it's a lot of data.
A ton of data. And on a volatile Wi-Fi network, that heavy data stream creates the traffic jam.
Right.
And that traffic jam results in 40 to 70 milliseconds of input latency.
Now, 70 milliseconds sounds really small on paper, but in a game like, say, Spider-Man 2 or Returnal, it is an absolute eternity.
It makes it unplayable.
Totally. You hit the dodge button, and a fraction of a second passes before the character actually moves. It literally feels like you're playing underwater.
It's miserable.
Oh.
But Asobi obliterates that delay by utilizing a much more advanced protocol called H.265.
Which is commonly known as HEVC, or high-efficiency video coding.
Right. Now, HEVC doesn't mail 60 full photographs a second. Instead, it uses this really complex predictive math to only send the pixels that have actually changed from the previous frame.
Oh, wow. So if your character's running through a field.
Exactly. The blue sky isn't changing. HEVC knows this, so it just ignores the sky and only sends the data for the character's moving legs and the grass blowing in the wind.
That is so smart. So the data packets are drastically smaller and lighter.
Tiny in comparison.
Which means they can travel over your Wi-Fi network much faster, avoiding that whole traffic jam entirely.
Yes. And this is where the Steam Deck's underlying architecture becomes the real hero of the story.
Because the Steam Deck isn't just a streaming box.
No, it is fundamentally a versatile by 86 64 machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the universal standard architecture for personal computers.
Right.
Inside is a custom AMD accelerated processing unit, or APU, which basically marries the main processor and the graphics chip on a single die.
Okay, so how does Asobi talk to that?
Well, Asobi's open source Linux code is written to bypass the operating system's software layer entirely. It talks directly to the hardware video decoders that are physically baked into that AMD silicon.
It's just a direct pipeline.
A direct pipeline.
Mm.
And by utilizing HEVC compression in that hardware level decoding, Asobi drops the input latency down to a virtually imperceptible sub-20 milliseconds.
Over a wireless connection? That is just absurd.
It's incredible. And it gets better.
Oh.
Because a massive part of the PlayStation ecosystem is the DualSense controller, right? The intricate haptic feedback vibrations and the swipe gestures on the touchpad.
Right. The stuff that makes PS5 games feel so immersive.
You would think you lose all of that by moving to a third-party PC handheld.
You would naturally assume that, yeah. But you don't. The Tekken analysts discovered that the Moonlight framework actually acts as an API wrapper.
Yeah, and you can think of an API wrapper as basically a real-time language translator.
Okay, how does that work in practice?
When you touch the rear capacitive paddles on the Steam Deck, the hardware sends a generic Linux input signal.
Right.
The Moonlight wrapper intercepts that signal, instantly translates it into Sony's proprietary data language, and sends it to the cloud.
So it's tricking the server.
Totally. The Sony server receives the packet and genuinely believes you are holding a physical plastic DualSense controller. It triggers the exact haptic rumble profiles and touchpad swipes you'd get natively.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. When you look at the Digital Foundry evaluations cited in the report, they concluded that the image clarity and the responsiveness on the Steam Deck actually surpass Sony's dedicated hardware.
Which is just a staggering achievement for an open source project.
Right. So does this mean we've crossed a threshold? Like, are we at a point where brilliant software optimization actually matters more than the physical purpose-built hardware you're holding?
We absolutely have. The Steam Deck is a heavy-duty local PC. It was never designed purely to be a thin client streaming device.
Right. It's meant to play games locally.
But because Valve built it on an open Linux architecture, developers have the freedom to optimize directly to the metal. There is no locked-down proprietary operating system getting in the way.
No walled garden to navigate around.
Exactly. It proves that when you give the community a versatile unlocked machine, their software innovations will eventually outpace and outlast a closed, single-purpose device every single time.
Okay, so we've established that the tech is undeniably superior. But I know what you're thinking as you listen to this. If this whole thing requires API wrapping, predictive video math, and hardware-level decoding, is this something you can actually set up in your living room without a computer science degree?
It sounds intimidating, I know. But the beauty of this breakthrough is how incredibly accessible the deployment actually is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Valve built SteamOS with a sort of dual personality. You have this standard console-like gaming mode that everyone uses.
It's a pretty UI.
Right. But underneath that is a fully unlocked Linux desktop environment.
So to get Asobi running, you literally just hold down the power button and select switch to desktop mode.
Yep. And it turns into a standard PC interface. From there, you just open the Discover Store, which functions exactly like the App Store on your smartphone. Or you opt into the Steam Playtest and you download the Asobi package.
That's it.
Basically.
Yep.
Once it's installed, a secure browser window pops up. You enter your PlayStation Plus premium credentials, and the software handles the rest.
Wow.
The API wrappers automatically bind the Steam Deck controls to the PlayStation layout. Then you simply right-click the Asobi icon, select Add as a non-Steam shortcut, and reboot back into gaming mode.
And it just integrates seamlessly. Asobi just sits right there in your library next to your local Steam games, complete with custom artwork, and you just press play.
It feels completely official.
But we do have to mention there is a massive caveat here. The Tekken advisory team highlighted one specific setting that you absolutely must configure or the entire experience will just fall apart.
Yes. This is crucial. It goes back to our discussion about the video decoding. When you first launch Asobi, you have to navigate into its settings menu and manually toggle on HEVC hardware decoding.
Right. Because if you forget to flip that switch, you bypass the AMD silicon entirely.
Exactly. And you force the Steam Deck to rely on software brute force.
Which is bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
The main processor will try to decode that super dense 4K video stream using sheer computational muscle.
And what happens then?
Well, not only will this introduce massive lag and basically ruin the image clarity, but your CPU will run so hot the fan will sound like a jet engine.
Oh, man.
And your battery will be dead in 40 minutes.
40 minutes? That's brutal.
But by simply enabling hardware decoding, you route the video stream through the dedicated, ultra-efficient silicon pathways. The system barely breaks a sweat.
So it extends the battery life.
Massively. It allows you to play incredibly demanding games like God of War Ragnarok for hours with minimal battery drain.
Okay, but even with the perfect software configuration, we do have to deliver a reality check here.
True.
Because the cloud is ultimately only as good as the invisible pipe delivering it into your house. If you want to pull down a 4K resolution at 60 frames per second with high dynamic range, the Tekken Report draws a very hard line on network requirements.
They don't sugarcoat it.
Yes.
You need a bare minimum of 25 megabits per second of dedicated, uncapped download bandwidth.
And crucial to note, that is 25 megabits of sustained bandwidth, right? Free from interference.
Exactly. Sustained is the key word.
Let's visualize this for a second. Think of the highly optimized Asobi software as a meticulously engineered Ferrari. It's built for pure speed.
I like this.
But a standard 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi connection, which is the kind most of our smart home devices use, is basically a dirt road full of potholes.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how fast the Ferrari is. If you drive it on a dirt road, you're going to hit a pothole. And in networking terms, hitting a pothole means dropping a packet of data.
And when you drop a data packet in a predictive HEVC video stream, the math just breaks.
Right, because it's relying on the previous frame.
Exactly. The screen will suddenly artifact, the audio will stutter, and your inputs will disconnect.
So you need a freshly paved highway.
Yeah.
You need a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi 6 router, or honestly, even better, a gigabit Ethernet cable plugged directly into your Steam Deck dock.
Hardwired is always best.
Yeah. If you provide the highway, the Asobi Ferrari will perform flawlessly.
Because the local network is the one element the open source community cannot patch.
Right.
They can eliminate the latency on the processing side, but they can't fix a congested router sitting behind your microwave.
Too true. So assuming you have the network highway and you have this flawless open source client bypassing official hardware to pull massive AAA games directly to a rival company's handheld, we really have to talk about the corporate psychology here.
This is where the business strategy gets fascinating.
Because how does a titan like Sony react to a community project essentially hijacking their cloud infrastructure?
Instinctively, you might assume Sony's legal and engineering teams are just scrambling, right? Like they're getting ready to issue a cease and desist or push a firmware update to block Asobi.
Right. It feels like a massive security breach of their walled garden.
But the Tekken analysts tore into the margin math, and the financial reality actually dictates a completely different corporate response.
Yeah, the numbers in this report completely reframe the whole console war. Let's look at the traditional dedicated hardware, the PlayStation Portal. When Sony manufactures and sells a $200 Portal, they are yielding a one-time gross profit margin estimated at a pretty meager 10 to 15%.
It's tiny. They are making maybe $20 to $30 per unit.
That's it.
That's it. And that tiny margin is burdened with an enormous logistical nightmare. They have to source the LCD screens, assemble the units in massive factories, ship them on container boats across the ocean.
Warehouse them globally,
and then deal with retail cuts from stores like Best Buy or Amazon.
Not to mention the post-sale physical overhead.
Oh, exactly.
If a joystick starts drifting, or a customer drops the unit and shatters the screen, Sony has to process physical warranty claims, pay for return shipping, and mail out replacement units.
It is an incredibly expensive, low-margin business. And it's designed purely to lock you into their ecosystem.
Right.
But now pivot to the PlayStation Plus premium subscription model that Asobi relies on. That subscription generates an annual recurring revenue of $180 per active user.
And the profit margin on a digital subscription.
It's astronomical. We're talking 70% plus.
Wow.
And there is absolutely zero physical overhead. There are no container ships. There are no broken screens to replace. No Joy-Con drift to repair. The entire product is just hosted on server blades and data centers they already operate.
So what does this all mean for Sony's strategy? Think of it like this. Sony spent tens of millions of dollars building this physical toll booth, the PS Portal, hoping people would drive through it to get onto their premium subscription highway. But suddenly they look up and PC gamers are just flying over the toll booth in their own Steam Decks, and they're just airdropping that $180 directly into Sony's bank account anyway.
It's brilliant. The friction of hardware adoption is completely gone.
Yeah.
Every single Steam Deck user who boots up Asobi represents a high-margin subscriber that Sony acquired without spending a dime on hardware acquisition costs.
That is massive for them.
It is. They're pulling dedicated PC gaming enthusiasts into their first-party narrative franchises. These are people who likely never would have purchased a physical PlayStation console in the first place.
Which completely changes the trajectory of the industry. The tech and editorial board actually makes a pretty bold prediction here.
They do.
They argue that this Asobi milestone proves the Steam Deck has fundamentally won the multi-purpose handheld war.
And because of that undeniable hardware supremacy, The analyst predicts Sony won't try to block third-party clients at all.
The financial incentive to keep those $180 subscriptions flowing is simply too powerful.
Way too powerful. Instead, the prediction is that Sony will pivot, study the open source success of Asobi, and eventually just release their own official native Linux client to actively capture that massive PC handheld market.
It's the ultimate concession, isn't it?
It really is.
It's recognizing that the walled garden is no longer profitable to maintain. I mean, we've seen echoes of this before, like Sega leaving the hardware business to sell software, or Microsoft putting Xbox exclusives on PlayStation, but this feels like the final evolution, embracing an open source rival operating system simply because the software margins demand it.
And it forces a reckoning for future hardware, too.
How so?
Well, if an open source community project can flawlessly deliver an HDR OLED sub 20 millisecond latency experience, Sony can't easily justify selling an inferior LCD screen in their next peripheral.
Oh, that's true. The community has set the new baseline.
Exactly. Consumers won't accept anything less now.
Which is an incredibly empowering takeaway for you, the listener. Because what we've learned today is that the era of forced single-use hardware ecosystems is fracturing right before our eyes.
It's crumbling.
You no longer need a massive plastic tower taking up space under your TV, and you certainly don't need a redundant streaming peripheral gathering dust on your nightstand.
The combination of standard by 8664 Linux architecture, the brilliant math behind HEVC video encoding, and the sheer dedication of the open source community has unequivocally proven that multi-platform hardware delivers unparalleled freedom.
And that is exactly why you should care about the rise of Asobi. It is absolute confirmation that when you invest your money in versatile open hardware today, that hardware will continue to outlive, out-adapt, and outperform restricted single-use devices.
It doesn't get better because a corporation mandates an update.
Right. It gets better through sheer community innovation. Your everyday Swiss Army knife just adapts to whatever you need it to be.
The walls of the garden aren't just falling, they're being actively dismantled from the outside in.
Which leaves us with one final, deeply provocative thought to ponder long after we wrap up today's deep dive.
Let's hear it.
If a reverse-engineered app on a portable Linux PC can perfectly emulate the controller, decode the video in milliseconds, and deliver the premium PlayStation experience directly from the cloud, what happens to the very concept of console generations moving forward?
It's a great question.
Right. If the processing power lives entirely in a data center, we have to ask ourselves, will the PlayStation 6 even be a physical box you buy or just an app you download on whatever screen you already own?